Good morning, church. This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Sometimes a makeover makes all the difference. Whether you're talking home makeover, or the hair and makeup routine, or even just a new set of clothing, sometimes a person is hardly recognizable when they've experienced that. Maybe you've had a glow up recently. You've run into some people and they've been like, whoa, I barely even recognized you. But of course, you and I both know the inside is still the same. Maybe the outside changed, but the realities inwardly are still the exact same. Just because you make something beautiful on the outside doesn't mean you've dealt with the ugliness that's on the inside. So we have a shed on our property. It's kind of a utility shed. Dylan, you saw it recently. It's not looking too good. And we could give a fresh coat of paint to that shed. We could put some new doors on it. We could, I could use the weed eater and cut all the weeds that are around it and make it look nice. But the family of skunks that lives under that shed would still live there that we've discovered recently. By the way, do you know what a skunk's favorite type of music is? A skunk's favorite type of music? Funk! And if anyone knows how to humanely remove a family of skunks, let's talk after. That would be terribly helpful to my family. We could make the outside look nice, but the stink factory that resides underneath would still be present. In one of Neil Postman's book, and if you're not familiar with him, he's a really interesting author. The name of this book is called Amusing Ourselves to Death. But Postman says that the trend happening in our nation is to what he calls cosmeticize. The trend happening is to cosmeticize. And he explains that that is basically trying to make things simply more attractive and more appealing, rather than actually bringing about a higher quality or improving the product or the performance. He says the trend is just to cosmeticize. And he says very clearly that this is a detriment to our culture, that this is detrimental. So you have individuals as an example, and instead of growing in their expertise and their knowledge in a given field, they just take the mediocre product or performance and just try to make it look nice. Now more than ever, people are making shortcuts. Not doing the due diligence, not bringing about the health and the growth and the change, but just simply trying to make it look nice. There's a problem, but just slap a nice veneer on it rather than actually diagnose what is the problem. How could we potentially improve the product or pursue excellence in this? We just try to make it look more pleasant. So it's a superficial solution. It's to cosmeticize, again, using the words of the author Neil Postman. The reason I mention that is because we're studying the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians this summer. And I think that's really exactly what Paul is addressing in the church there in Corinth, in a spiritual sense. He's kind of saying the exact same thing. He has that exact same critique. You don't need cosmetics. You don't need the things that look really good and nice. You need a change of practice and really a change of heart, a change of perspective. And I would say, honestly, the issues that we are facing today as the evangelical church are not too terribly different from some of the ones that the believers were facing in the first century church. Like how often do we want to portray to others or even to the world, we're fun, we're happy, we're godly, I've got a good marriage, I've got contentment and gratitude, I've got a heart of worship, I care for others, you know, like the read my Bible, pray every day, you know, like that, like that's what I'm projecting and kind of putting out to others to see. That's what I want others to know. When reality, we're more depressed than ever. We're more lonely than ever. Remember that from 2023? The U.S. Surgeon General actually declared it an epidemic of loneliness, saying that there is a giant lack in our society of human connection and community. And I'm not trying to downplay those things either, because we walk through, the part of the human condition is we walk through setbacks and disappointments and hardships and failures. We have relational issues. And again, even in today's world, there are unique problems that we are facing, that we are struggling with. Number one addiction in the U.S. right now is tech addiction. Tech addiction. And it is easy, maybe, especially for those of us who are a little bit older, to just kind of laugh that off. Like, how hilarious is that? That's silly, that's funny, but it's a reality. We have tech addiction going on right here under this roof. So I think that the message coming to the church in Corinth is actually really important for us today. And again, just reading about what are we facing today in our culture and in our time. Anxiety has skyrocketed. People are reporting more than ever before poor sleep habits. We have political instability. We have economic worries. We all have this relational stress. We have, again, the realities of life, those health issues that arise. And there is a solution to each and every one of those problems. There is a solution, and his name is Jesus. The hope we have is in Christ. And that's the good news of the scripture. And that's what Paul is encouraging to the church in Corinth. That's what I want to encourage us with today. Like, it's time for us to take off the mask. It's time for us to stop pretending. And even just this morning, if you were to ask someone, how are you? Undoubtedly, you would hear in response, I'm good. How are you? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't greet one another. I'm saying it's time to take off the mask in the appropriate time and space to share the places where we're hurting and struggling, the places where we fear and feel ensnared, the places where our spiritual enemy is attacking us, to enter into authentic Christian community, to live on mission for Christ together. And again, there's a solution, and it's Christ. And so the encouragement this morning is that we would allow God's love, to bring hope and to bring healing into our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about together this morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor here at MCA, and I am thrilled that you're with us this morning. What a joy it is to gather in this place. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord. I hope you brought a Bible with you this morning. We're going to be studying in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm teaching out of the NIV. You may have a different translation with you. If you do, that's okay. We're going to do chapter 13 this morning. And in this chapter, Paul emphasizes, again, what I've just mentioned there, how it seems like a church can portray this image of, well, we're functioning properly, but at the same time, really be on a path of self-destruction. Again, for us today, it's like we can attend a worship service. We can be a part of Sunday school. We could even volunteer at VBS or go on a mission trip. But are we acting out of love? Are we motivated by the love of God that has poured into us that we want to flow out of us? If we want to be strong in the Lord, we must be rich in love. we want to be strong in the Lord, we must be rich in love. Paul says, and we're going to see this in a moment, we are nothing without love. So let's turn in our Bibles there together, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is where Jordan read for us a few moments ago. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. We heard the reference to the gong there. This would have been a common sight for the original audience. Those pagan temples, we mentioned a few weeks ago, the temple to Aphrodite. They had others as well, many others, pagan temples to pagan gods. So it would have been very common to see, as you go into those pagan temples, the gong, which is like a giant cymbal, and you hit it with a mallet-type thing, and it makes this gonging noise. The practice was done to awaken that pagan god. Like, probably taking a nap, maybe taking a break. Let's hit the gong so that he'll wake up, and then he will be awake to, like, listen to my prayers and help me with my needs and, like, you know, provide some service to me as I offer sacrifices or worship to him. And so what's happening here is Paul's saying, like, even if I'm so blessed that I'm speaking in tongues, or speaking in all these languages, or speaking even in the words of the angels, eloquently, or speaking in every language, or all of this beautiful talk, but I don't have love, then it's like my life is as useless as the ridiculousness of pounding on one of those gongs to awaken a so-called pagan god, that he might potentially hear my prayers and do something. He says also about, like, you can have faith, and I mean, like, big, bold faith, the type of faith that can move a mountain, but what good is it? What good is it if it's not operating in the love of God? So again, you can volunteer in the local church. Our congregation and our ministry here depends on faithful servants giving their time and their efforts. We're grateful for that. We're going to do a lot of that this coming week with VBS. You can take care of the poor. You can help those less fortunate. You can serve others, but let's just do a heart check. Do we do that out of a sense of obligation? Do we do that out of a sense of, like, paying penance for wrongs? Or do we do that out of a sense of maybe I can win some favor with God? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves sometimes doing the thing that looks godly on the outside, but what's the attitude on the inside? If we're grumbling and we're complaining and it's this big huffy mess, oh, I gotta do this again. Oh, I said that I'd be there to help with that. I think the scripture is speaking pretty clearly into that. It's not worth much. If it's not being done in love, it's really not worth much. Why are you even going through the motions? I think, again, if we have any hope of addressing our warts, because again, there's no one perfect in the room. If we have any hope of addressing those warts or even the hurts that we carry, our own ugliness, we need to bring it to the Lord. We need to be authentic and real about those things, and we need to allow the love of God to bring healing, to cover it. We know that the church in Corinth was struggling with unity. Again, that's a struggle in the American church today. We create factions and divides, and we split and we part ways. This church had a lot of problems. We probably won't even get through the litany of the problems that this church had. They had sin issues. They had issues with this heart posture before the Lord. They needed correction. And part of what I see here as we study chapter 13 together is they were trying these cosmetic solutions. They were like, hey, let's do this, like, speaking in tongues thing. Let's seek after those supernatural displays, those manifestations that prove that, yeah, we're spiritually alive. Jordan, I would mention, it feels a little warm in here. Could we potentially lower the temperature? Thank you. The church in Corinth, they were trying to cosmetically change, like, maybe people will think we're okay. We're struggling with disunity. We're not aligned. But let's go after these things that might make it seem like, oh, this is a church that's alive and proving that God is here and among us. I think they had this hope, this practice that, like, these maybe manifestations or the exercising of these overt spiritual gifts would prove that God was there and God was among them and they were okay. And of course, the problem is, if you're trying to do it alone, if you're trying to bring about health and the solution on your own, it's never going to work. You're not going to unify a church through your own actions. It's the love of God poured into your life that's then expressed in a genuine love for others. Do I care about the people around me? Am I acting in love? And I think, if we're just being totally, completely honest, I think that we can fall into the temptation of, we want to grow this local church at MCA and across the nation in churches. We want to grow this local church. For what reason? Does it come from a place of, we care about people? And God's great love that has been poured into us is now going to overflow out of us. And we're going to say, we don't want you walking down that path of destruction. We want health and healing for you. Because I think sometimes it's, we want to grow the church for the wrong reasons. Because then that will mean more clout or esteem or pats on the back. I'll look better somehow. We got to guard against that. What's the motivation? And again, we hear this really clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's to be love. Without love, we are nothing. We're as useful as clanging a gong to wake up a so-called God. And I would say this. Thank the Lord for 1 Corinthians. And for Paul's shepherding and oversight of that church. Because if he hadn't spoken the truth to them, if he would have allowed them to continue going the way they were, I think eventually that church would have dissolved. It would have fallen apart. Because without love, we're nothing. And of course, the scriptures also affirm in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. So we can do a lot of things for God. But if our motivation isn't the love of Jesus Christ, we're laboring in vain. It might look good, but it's not going to last. And the ugliness is still on the inside. So again, if we want to be strong in the Lord, we must be rich in love. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together. We're going to continue reading through. We're going to go through this whole chapter together in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to get the AC going in here. And I want to share with us this morning, how could we be rich in love? And I want to share three ways. I want to equip us this morning with three ways we can be rich in love. And the first is to love with purpose. Love with purpose. Remember, Paul's writing this to a community who really had a lot of knowledge. They found themselves in this Greek culture where it was all about knowing stuff and coming up with these creative ideas and thoughts and elaborate philosophies and ideologies. Now, knowledge can be a good thing, right? It's good to learn something. It's good to be an expert in something, to be informed, to be aware, to have insight and wisdom. But let me just say this. Unless it helps us to love better, it's useless. And this morning, as we talk about love, we're reading in the New Testament, which is originally written in Koine Greek, and the word is agape. You've heard that before. Agape. It's unconditional love. It's the love that God has for us and that we are then called to have for one another. And I think sometimes And part of it is just like based on the fact that we're reading it in English, so it's a translation from a different language. Part of it is our cultural understanding of love. We saw that in the video a few minutes ago, what love is not. And even in the church, I think oftentimes we get really confused, and it's almost as if we think love is a synonym for polite. Love is not a synonym for politeness. In fact, I found a pastor who went on a rant on this, and he, I want to share this morning. He rewrote 1 Corinthians 13, and he called it an American 1 Corinthians 13. An American 1 Corinthians 13. So I'll share that with you. Again, this is satire. This is mocking this wrong notion of love as something other than a biblical agape love. An American 1 Corinthians 13. Love is niceness. Love does not make waves. Love does not disagree. Love always affirms. Love goes along to get along. Love accepts everything. Love never judges. Love never says anything to make someone feel bad. Love never points out a wrong. Love seeks the security of self rather than the benefit of the other. Niceness never confronts, never disturbs, never speaks a hard truth. Niceness says, you do you. Man, that, I think that hits it. This wrong-headed notion when we see that we should act in love. That is not biblical love. That is not agape love. If you want to see agape love, and you want to see it in action, and you want to see it lived out in a human life, then look at Jesus. Then look at Jesus, who perfectly modeled agape love in his life, in his ministry, in his teaching, in his sacrificial death on the cross. What did Jesus do? He died for his enemies. He died for people who rejected him in the hope that one day they would receive forgiveness for their wrongs. Even from the cross, as he endured the agony and the pain, the excruciating experience, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus in love said, I don't condemn you. At the same time, Jesus in love said, go and sin no more. And the message he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So we love with a purpose, to encourage the believer, to bring the lost to Jesus. How do we be rich in love? We love with a purpose. Secondly, we love with patience. And really, I wanted this to be alliterative with P's, purpose, patience. We could say in practical ways. You think about the book of James and the teaching there. Faith without deeds is dead. Agape love is patient, kind, not envious. Let's go ahead and keep reading in our passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I've already said this morning that love is not the same as politeness. And I want to be clear on that this morning. I don't want us to get into that American 1 Corinthians 13 mentality of it's just niceness. But here we have a warning and a caution, because the pendulum can swing way too far the other way. Like if we would be intentionally rude and obnoxious with the gospel and with our lives. We see here this encouragement and this warning, do not dishonor. Some translations say it is not rude. Loving someone requires listening to them. It requires spending that time to understand their struggle and their situation. Again, you want an example of this? Look at Jesus. Look at the way that he offered his time with people who were down and out. And so in loving someone, oftentimes it takes spending that time with them to listen, to understand their struggle and their situation prior to putting them on blast. Understand that in the context of relationship. So what's the encouragement? How are we rich in love by loving patiently or in practical ways? Be patient with people. Be gracious to others. Offer forgiveness quickly and readily. Get rid of the anger. Ask the Lord to work on that. And for some, it's just beneath the surface. And it's seething and simmering and just getting ready to boil. Don't try to set others up for failure or try to make yourself look better. Walk with people, and when they experience a win, rejoice with them in that. And when they hit a brick wall and struggle with failure, come alongside them to feel that pain as well. Rejoice with people. Mourn with people. Trust people. Yeah, I said trust people. Am I saying be foolish and like, hey, here's my bank account to a stranger on the street? Of course not. Am I saying someone who you know is going to be hurtful and harmful and saying, oh, here, take care of my kids? Of course not. But there is a prevalent worldview that says, I don't trust anyone. They've got to earn my trust. What does the scripture say? It says, when you love, you trust. Love always trusts, to be specific. Trust people. Protect people. Care for them. Dare to hope that the Lord is at work in their lives. That God is going to make good on his promises in the end. And remind one another of that. Of the promises of God that we stand on. That's loving in practical ways. So how do we be rich in love? We love with purpose. We love in practical ways. And a third way is loving with perseverance. We saw it there at the end of verse 7. Agape love. It holds steady. It's like an anchor. It doesn't implode. It doesn't struggle under pressure. It shows up. It perseveres. It doesn't give up. It keeps going. It stands the test through the difficulty. So let's read the rest of the passage together. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 8. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And the final verse says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What good news! That love never fails. That God's love toward us was not just a fleeting thought or emotion or action. That it has continued since before we were until long after we are. God's love never fails. And as we talk about then living out this love, with a purpose and in practical ways and persevering in it. Does it mean that we'll never make a mistake? Well, of course not. Of course, in our lives, lived out in our world, it will be frail and faulty at times because we are imperfect. Our love is imperfect, but Christ's love is perfect. Christ's love has changed you. For those who are in Christ, you're never the same again. You're forever changed. And what's cool is you continue to change. You continue to learn. You continue to grow. Again, I'm excited that our youth mission team has returned. I haven't even had the chance to hear stories or how has God moved? What has God said? What has he done in your hearts and your lives? Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep allowing that love of Christ to transform you as you seek to live it out with all of those around you, with your family and your friends, with your church family, in your schools and workplaces and neighborhoods and community, and to the ends of the earth. Christ's love will never fall short. It will never lose power. It will continue on in our hearts. How thankful I am. How thankful I am for a God who loves us endlessly and unconditionally. The love, Scripture says, is poured out lavishly and freely for all who turn to Him in faith. In fact, here's what the Scripture says. This is from 1 John chapter 4. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then John says this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So, to be rich in love, we have a love that perseveres. God's endless love for us that will go on and on and on, and a love in us for others that holds fast and steady. Doesn't give up, but shows up. And this is a love for one another. It lasts well beyond seasons or struggles or even disagreements. So I would encourage you with that this morning. Don't walk away when things get hard. And one day, as we saw there in this teaching, one day, the day we long for, which is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's that day that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow before Him. For some, it will be too late. One day, He will right all of those wrongs. One day, it will all be clear. Maybe it will be in that day that we even more fully understand and embrace. You are loved more deeply than you will ever know. And the Lord wants you to be rich in love toward others. Loving with purpose, loving with patience, loving with perseverance. To the glory of God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your lavish love poured out upon us. Freely, freely we have received. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, would You help us to freely, freely give, that we would serve as conduits of that agape love. We know in part, and yet, Lord, we can cling to this truth. We are fully known. That, Lord, You love us more deeply than we could ever fathom. How we thank You for it and say yes, God, to Your love coming into our lives. Lord, I just pray this morning for those who have those warts and that ugliness inside. Lord, help us to stop with cosmeticizing and come to You as a heart surgeon. To take off the mask, to be real with one another and with trusted friends who will love us despite, and who will stand with us, and who will walk with us on the journey of becoming even more like Jesus. Lord, You know our heart and our desire. You know the vision that You have placed before us here to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world, a world that is steeped in darkness and brokenness. So, Lord, here we are. Use us, send us. Lord, would You show us, please, oh God, show us how we can extend love to those around us, to love the ones that You put before us. Lord, thank You for the work that You're doing. Thank You for the opportunity we have to learn these things. We pray that You would help us to live them out, Lord, that we would not be merely hearers of the word, but, oh God, that we would be doers of the word. For Your glory, O God. We thank You for who You are and for what You've done. We thank You for the shed blood of Jesus. And we say, yes, we trust You, Lord. We turn from our sins and our mistakes and our failures and our past. And we say yes to newness and to hope. Today, for we know we are not promised tomorrow. We choose Jesus today. And we know that all the problems in our lives and in the world, that You, O Jesus, are the solution. So we turn to You in gratitude, thankful for who You are, for what You've done. We ask Your blessing on this local church and on Your people worldwide. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.